I am grateful to be here on today and grateful for this sermon series and this particular sermon. For many of you all that know me, you know that I like to be real with you. I know that God has, you know, given certain talents and gifts and whatever else. I am a person that I have always preferred to do some other things, but I recognize what God is doing in me in this season and this call that he has on my life to preach his word. And so I'm at that point now where I'm becoming more and more excited about preaching his word, more and more excited about giving this precious word to his people. If you've ever had to give a presentation at church, now giving a presentation period, like at work, that's one thing. There's a lot of preparation that goes into it, some studies, some research, things of that nature. But if you ever had to stand in front of church people and do any kind of talk or whatever, there's a certain level of nervousness that comes over you, because God's word is not some annual financial report. It's serious business. And it is the thing, if done correctly and done in following him, it is the thing that changes lives, literally changes lives. And if done wrong and with some sense of carelessness, it can ruin people. Now, I said all of that just to say this, that in this message today for Salt and Light, we're going to get a sense of how important it is for us to walk in that which we have been called to do. It may not be the most comfortable place. It may not be the place that you designed that you wanted to be. It may not be how you wanted your life to go. It may not be how you saw this thing playing out. Even when you came and came to God and accepted Jesus Christ, and you started going to church, this may not be exactly the way you thought it was going to go. But in following what God has called each and every one of us to, it has, in following it, it causes, it should cause you to pause. Let me back up. It should cause you to pause, because in walking in this, you see the seriousness of it and you see the weight of it. And I'm saying this because I don't want us to, as we go through this, I don't want us from Sunday to Sunday to go through and check the box off and say, well, I went to church, I worshiped, I heard the message, I checked it, I saw some people, I shook some hands, I made sure I signed up for the Bible study, blah, 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 and check it off and go on. God is preparing his people, his church, to do something extraordinary. I'll never forget 3 years ago when I walked in the door, and after I got a chance to meet some people, I know Chris Kennedy and I were talking about some things prior to coming to the church, and he was telling me that it's like a really good group of people. He was the first person that sat down that I sat down with and just kind of like just talked the real with me, because, you know, everybody will tell you, man, I love my church, this is a great place, and, you know, the da-da-da, so forth and so on. Chris sat next to me at a meeting and was like, let me tell you the real. And I appreciated that, because that made me want to be here even the more. But when I got here, I found out that there were a really large group of people that really loved God and that really wanted to do the right things for the right reason. They wanted to serve God. And they were hungry and thirsty, wanting to know, how can I serve him? How can he get the very best out of me? And so my prayer and hope is that from Sunday to Sunday, that we are taking it all in and trying to figure out, how can I be a better version of me for God? How can I be what God is calling me to be? And it may not be the way you scripted it, but now that I'm in this thing, what does it look like? What does it sound like? I'm pretty sure Alex, when I know he's gone now, but I'm pretty sure Alex, when he first came to NC3, that Alex had no clue that he would be up on stage one day doing announcements and praying the opening prayer. Now, I don't know if they switched it up for second service, but first service, he prayed the opening prayer. And I was sitting there and I was like, that's beautiful to see young people who are growing in the Lord and operating and doing these things. And he probably, I know he plays a sport, right? Does he? What sport is that, Parker? He plays baseball, all right? So and he's a Wildcat. And so I'm pretty sure that when he first started playing baseball, the last thing he thought about was he would be on stage one day praying an opening prayer for a service. But in his growth and his development, he is getting to that place where God wants to use him, and he's surrendering to God and allowing him to use him, maybe even in the most uncomfortable ways. And so even this morning, and I'm going to say this, and don't tell Alex I said this to y'all, okay? But in there, Alex came in and said, hey, man, how you doing? He said, I'm nervous. I said, good. Because if you ever walk to this stage and you are full of confidence, something else is wrong. In this message today, you're going to find out or see or be reminded that God is calling all of us to do some things, and for some of us, it's highly uncomfortable, but very rewarding. We've gone through the Beatitudes, and we have found out, you know, what the characteristics of a child of God are. And we've seen that because we are children of the Most High, that these are things that are expected of us, things that are supposed to be there. And in today's sermon, we're going to find out that all of those things we talked about are attributes of who we are, but it also empowers us in what we are supposed to be and do. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 reads like this. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. And a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So that first part in there says, we are, or you are, the salt of the earth. On your outline, there's only two things on there. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light to the world. Right? You are the salt of the earth. So, Lord, what is salt? So, when I first saw this, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a simple message. Because when I think of salt, I think of two things. I think of food, and I think of ice. And as I was studying and looking up, I found all these attributes and all these things, all these uses for salt. And I went, really? Salt does that? And I was just blown away. Because even after being blown away, at the end of the day, salt is still good for two reasons for me. Food and ice. So let's look. Definition for salt. It's a crystalline compound that consists of sodium chloride in abundance in nature and is used especially to season or preserve food or in the industry. In that same definition, letter E says a dependable, steadfast person or group of people, usually used in the phrase salt of the earth. And then lastly, usually used in the phrase, worth one's salt. Some of the characteristics, it's able to bond to other elements in an ionic level, It has a high melting point. It has the ability to conduct electricity, and is crystalline-like in structure. Some of the uses for it. Salt has been used, obviously, as you know, to preserve food, to cure hives, and as an antiseptic for healing wounds. That made me think for a second, because I used to wonder when I was younger and I was having something going on in my mouth, my mother would say, get some warm salt water and just gurgle with that. And I'm like, what? Who wants to do that? But it's used as an antiseptic. The funniest thing is, back in the day, they used to tell us to do all kinds of stuff. Just drink this. I'm like, I'm not drinking that. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. They would tell you to drink or do or rub on some really bizarre stuff. At the end of the day, it all worked out. It is used for trade, for other commodities. It was used as an outright source of payment. Roman soldiers were said to have received salt as partial compensation along with other forms of payment. Salt was also used as a means of measuring the value of people, hence the phrase, worth your salt. And whether you were above or below the salt could determine where you sat at a dinner party. Today, there are over 14,000 uses for salt. Salt, and that's exactly what I said. Salt in one form or another can be found in computers, shoes, clothing, etc. And while the value of salt cannot be truly measured, we get a sense of its value by Jesus' use of it here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, when he refers to the children of God as the salt of the earth. So real quickly, I didn't give you not even 2% of all the information that was listed about salt. But you get a sense that that salt can do so many things, and it affects so many areas of our life, and it changes a lot of the different things that we are used to dealing with every single day. It's used in things that we use every single day. Your cell phone has some measure of salt in it. Go figure. So when Jesus calls us the salt of the earth, there's power in there. There's a lot that can be done. And I know sometimes we look at our society and we say, there's a lot going on, there's a lot going wrong in our society, and our society seems to be upside down. And everybody wants to come up with his own truth and come up with his own way and come up with his own philosophy and do his own thing. In the 60s, they used to have a song that used to say, it's your thing, do what you want to do with it. And for some reason, that has become everybody's philosophy. Well, it's my truth, it's my thing, I'm going to do what I want to do. And it seems like there's so much going wrong in the earth that there's no way to really fix that. But there is. In my blurb Friday, if you read the email, it said that our world is descending into decay and darkness. And people, believers and non-believers alike, are praying to God, asking for him to do something about the craziness that's going on in our society. The funny thing is that God gave us the answer back in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth and the light to the world. With all the varying chaotic things that are going on, with all the salt that's in this room and in other buildings and other churches all across the world, there is enough salt to affect all of this craziness and turn this right side up. We just have to be willing to be salt, to be salty. So let's dive in and see what the Bible says that saltiness looks like. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12 is what we've already been going through in the upside down sermon series. And it simply says that we're supposed to have humility. Saltiness looks like humility. It looks like a repentant heart. It looks like self-control through gentleness. It looks like a hunger for righteousness. It looks like mercy. It looks like peacemaking. It looks like being resolute when you are being persecuted. All of these things are attributes, just like I gave you some attributes of salt earlier of what we know salt to be. This is the biblical version of salt. So Jesus, in his talking about the Beatitudes, he's not just saying, you know, just consider this and think about that. You might want to try to, you know, espouse, or you might want to try to become this. He's saying that these are the things, once you become a child of the Most High, these are the attributes that come with it. This is what we are expecting of you. Now that you have these attributes, go do this in the world. Go love the world. Go be merciful to the world. Go be gentle to the world. Go hunger after righteousness in front of the world. And when you do that, you will have an effect on the world. There are a lot of people. Candace and I were talking, this was years ago, and we were talking and we were trying to figure out, why do people, whenever you come up to them and you tell them about a situation that's going on, and they say, well, we need to pray about that. Or just pray about it. Just have faith. What does that mean? When do we come out of our, if you do, prayer closet, and actually start living what the scripture says out loud in front of our coworkers, in front of our family members, in front, because the only way they're going to change is that salt has to be added. Has anybody in here, and I asked the first service the same, and got a funny response out of that one. Has anybody here ever had a steak without seasoning? Raise your hand high so I can see how many people have ascended into that mess. Okay, one. Now, to those 10 people, I just, did it taste good? Okay, no. He said, yes, it did. No seasoning whatsoever. It was great. You're the only person on earth. No. I'm just playing. Okay, so varying reasons, right? First service, everybody's like, it was horrible. It was garbage. It was hard. No, it did not taste good. I had one person come up to me afterwards. He said he didn't know steak. He didn't like steak because it was prepared wrong for him all the time. Until he had a good steak that was prepared right, and now he's like, oh. A steak without seasoning is kind of like what our world is. It has no flavor. It has no, there's nothing overly appealing about it. Maybe one or two people will like it like that. That's fine. But for the most part, most of us need a good steak that's been aged like 14 to 21 days, right? That's been rubbed, that's been loved over with seasoning and whatnot, and just kind of sit there and marinate. And then you need somebody who is anointed to stand over that grill and cook the steak, right? This world needs flavoring. It needs its salt. There are a lot of people going around here that don't know their identity, don't know who they are, don't know where they're going. And then, so in order to do that, they try to fly under this banner or fly under this flag or fly under this philosophy or whatever, because they are trying to figure out who they are. There's a group of people that don't know their identity, and that's their banner. We don't have an identity, which is weird, but it's true. It's happening. And they don't know these things, or they're going down the wrong road because nobody applied the salt. Nobody came to them and said, this is what, let me put the salt on there so that you can see the real flavor, so that you can see what God created in you, so that you can sense your real identity, your real purpose. One of the things that I get often, or the most phone calls I get outside of people that need counseling, marital counseling, or people that are trying to figure out what their purpose is. Pastor Jay, how do you know what your purpose is? And I always ask them, I said, do you go to church? Are you a believer? And so forth and so on. And if they say no, I know that's going to be a hard conversation to have. If they say yes, I'm like, well, I can point you back to Scripture, because Scripture can tell you and show you what your purpose is. And now that we have been saved and redeemed and set free by the blood of the Lamb, we now, all of us in this room, have a purpose. We have an identity. We are to be salt in the earth. So if anybody asks you, who are you and what are you about, just tell them, I'm salt. Make sure you know how to explain that too, because that sounds a little weird. So let's read a little bit further to find out what the saltiness, biblical saltiness, look like. And in this, you'll see the effects as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, and it reads like this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So far in these two scripture passages, we see this is what biblical saltiness looks like. This is the attributes of salt coming out. And when, like in Philippians, like the Apostle Paul, when you are doing those things, if you have learned it or received it or heard from me, seen it in me, then do those things. Put them in practice. And the God of peace will be with you. You want to know how to change the world? Be truthful around them. Be noble around them. Do what's right around them and in front of them. Do what is pure and lovely. My wife and I went to pick up my daughter's car the other day, and the bill came out to be one thing, but he charged me another thing. He charged me less than what the bill was, like $60 less. Now, I know some people that would have looked at that and be like, oh, God, thank you. Thank you for that blessing. Right? And I kept looking at it while I was in there, and I couldn't figure out what was right, because I heard his wife tell me one thing on the phone. When I get there, I read the paper, I saw the thing, and I'm like, maybe he discounted something or whatever. So I get out to the car and I'm looking at it, and my wife said, what? And I'm like, I'm trying to read this because something's not adding up to me. And she then confirmed that he gave us the wrong price. I then went back inside. Now, jokingly, I looked at her and said, I got out the car and I was going to go in. I said, or. But I went back inside. and there was another gentleman standing there at the counter. And I went back in, and I saw him. Now, my mechanic is usually in the garage, but today he was out front. And I looked at him. I said, "Hey, man," I said, "I know you don't get this that often, but you didn't charge me enough money." And the guy said, "Huh?" And I said, "He didn't charge me enough money." And I handed the receipt back to him, and he looked at both of the receipts, and he said, "I must have fat-fingered that thing." I said, I get it. I fat-finger stuff all the time. And then he looked at me and said, "I really appreciate that." He said, "I try my best." This is why I go to him. "I try my best to be fair with people, to do all of my pricing and my costs and all that stuff. I try my best to do all that." He said, "And to have somebody else come back in with integrity and tell me that I was $60 short." He said, that means something. And the guy said, "Yeah, you don't see people doing that." He said, "Because I know some folks that just kept driving right on off into the sunset." And just so that you know, I don't know the guy or the my mechanic. I don't know where they are with the Lord. But when you do what is right in front of them, you are being salt. You are doing the things that they don't see in the news. You are doing the things that they don't hear about on Instagram or Facebook or, I guess you can't call it Twitter anymore. X, formerly known as Twitter. I don't know. Anyway, you can't do it on social media because everybody on there is living some other way and nobody is truly presenting the Christ-like way. There are some. I don't want to generalize it. We need moments like that. I thought about that after, because I did that before I finished my message, and I thought about that after I finished writing my message out, and I said, that was God giving me an opportunity to be salt in that moment. How many opportunities has God given you to affect other people in that same way? And how many times has he given us that opportunity and then we blow it? I've been that person too. Because I've been that person, but ooh, what a blessing. Right? That was me. Until I figured out that that's not a blessing. That's me robbing that person, and that's me robbing God. And guess who else I robbed? Myself. As I learn and as I grew, I come to understand that it's better for me to go back and to get that $60 mistake right, not just so that he will have his money, so that he can see that there is somebody who is honest and full of integrity and who loves God and is following something that's making him do the right thing. I would rather those two men, and eventually his wife, because I'm sure he's going to share this with his wife as well, but I would rather that, the people in that shop, I would rather them say, there's something different about that young man. There's something different happening in the world. And when they watch TV, I want them to see one thing on TV, but I want them to remember what God did for them in that moment through the piece of salt that walked in the door. Let's move on. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Jesus in verse 13 is now implying that the world is in a state of decay and that the only way that it can be saved and or preserved is through the biblical saltiness of his disciples and their righteous effect on the world. The world can neither come to know the full value or the flavor or be preserved from decay if the salt of his righteousness is not applied to them through us. Because we are his children, then we are his salt in the earth. And this is in keeping with the entire theme of the Beatitudes when Jesus said, blessed are those who... So because we are children of God, we are already counted as salt. Notice he didn't say that if you ever decide to become salt. Notice he didn't say that you have an opportunity to become salt. He expressly says, you are the salt of the earth. Just like that thief on the cross when he says, Master, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. It was sure. It was a promise. It was definite. When Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, then you have to look at that and say that I'm already there. So then where is my saltiness? And when do I apply salt to this world? So let's go there. But if salt loses its saltiness, salt in and of itself cannot cease being salt. However, if it is mixed with some other element, it could and very likely will lose its ability to be effective in its original purpose. The commingling with other elements changes the makeup and the signature of salt and renders it ineffective. Jesus then says that it's only good to be spread out on footpaths and rooftops to stifle and or to kill vegetation so people can walk unimpeded. When we abandon our original purpose in search for some other agenda and its glory, we stifle our own effectiveness in carrying out God's agenda. And if God cannot use us for his agenda and his glory, then we will have a lesser and diminished role in the world. By the way, Satan is out to make sure that we lose our saltiness. And while he has no power nor authority over us, he can present other elements into our Christian walk that could taint us and cause us to be ineffective concerning God's agenda, which is to save mankind. Martin Lloyd Jones says it like this. He says, the primary task of the church is to evangelize and to preach the gospel. He goes on to say, it is my business as a preacher of the gospel and a representative of the church to evangelize all kinds of conditions and classes of men and women. The moment the church begins to intervene into these political, social, and economic matters, therefore she is then hampering and hindering herself in her God-appointed task of evangelism. She, meaning the church, can no longer say that she knows no man after the flesh, and thereby she, meaning the church, is sinning. All right, real quickly, because I don't want a bunch of emails tomorrow. Everybody, please look at me. When it's time to vote, please go vote. If you want to run for a political office, run for a political office. If you want to be an advocate for this group or that group, be an advocate. If you want to go protest, go protest. I'm not going to stand in your way. But at the end of the day, you must remember that you are a member of the body of Christ, and our true effectiveness is in us living the scriptures out loud in front of the people who need it. So please, go vote. Go do that. I suspect that Candace and I are going to try to figure out who do we write in. Is it Mickey Mouse or Jesus? One of the two. That I said it like that in jest just to prove a point. There is no one person nor party or group who can fix this mess. But there is one person, and that one person gave us the ability and gave us the power and the authority to make those changes. But it requires us being what the world needs but says they don't want. It requires you doing some things that are uncomfortable. They will call you different. They will call you crazy. They will call you peculiar. Women, doesn't the Bible say that we are to be peculiar? We're to be different. We're supposed to not sound like, we're supposed to not walk like the next person. We're supposed to not sound like the next person. We are to be different. Now, we don't build a platform on that. We don't walk around thinking that we're better than the next person because we're not. We are only in this position because of the grace of God and His willingness to redeem us from our sins. Right? It's not our willingness. We didn't come to Jesus on our own. We didn't come to Him saying, Lord, here I am. I made up my mind. No. Jesus was chasing after us the whole time. He was the one with His arms wrapped around us, and we were doing something different. We, like Paul, had to turn around and embrace Him because He has embraced us. So we can never think that we're better than the next person. But we do have to look and remember that we are different than the next person. We are different than the next person. Yes, I put my pants on one leg at a time. I tried the two-leg thing. It didn't work out for me. And so I found out that the specialness about me only goes but so far. And so here's the thing. Yes, I look like the next person, but I don't sound like the next person. See, when I walk down an aisle in the grocery store, they ought to sense something is different about that person. When I'm talking to my waiter or the waiter at the restaurant, they ought to sense that something's different about you. Somebody asked me once before, they said, why do you leave the tip that you leave, why did you leave that tip for them? They were not, I don't know if they were worthy of that tip. And my explanation to them was because they need, in whatever they're going through, they need to know that somebody sees them. They need to know that somebody cares for them. They need to know that despite what's going on, that we're going to do this. And then oftentimes in that moment, I will have a chance to talk with the waiter or the waitress and ask them, is everything okay? Are you good? Can I have your name? Can I pray for you? Can I whatever? But not only am I going to just pray for you from a distance, but let me show you what real salty Christians do. We leave good tips when your service was not, Bob, I lost like 75% of the people when I said that. They were like, your tip starts at zero and it goes up. But if we're to be salt, we got to be different. We have to be different. And I know we want to blend in and we want to be accepted. We want to be loved and liked by everybody. And we don't want to upset anybody's carts. And we don't want to be disinvited from anything and whatever. And I get that. And I understand that. And sometimes your faith causes tension at the family reunion or at Thanksgiving or so forth and so on. But somewhere along the line, you got to want them to not want another bland Thanksgiving. And so I'm going to add my salt in here. You keep adding the salt, God's going to open the door for you to keep adding it. Don't worry about if they invite you back or not. Don't worry about if they, God's going to give you those open doors. And like I told so many people, if the door gets cracked, just kick it open and walk on in. The salt is here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 19. So from now on, we regard no one from the worldly point of view. In some Bibles, it says no man after the flesh. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are to be the salt in the earth. If we do not do the salt work, it doesn't get done. Here's the last thing I'm going to say about that, and then we're going to do the speed round and we'll be done. Nothing irks more. This is me. Few things irk me more than watching the news. And you all know, most of y'all know, I'm an independent. I watch both sides. I watch all the programs. Nothing irks me more than to see the evangelical church on TV pushing a particular candidate. I don't care who you vote for. I don't. I really don't. I do not care. But don't get on TV and in that too, as a pastor, as a preacher, as an evangelist, don't get on TV and be given 2 minutes or 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and you got 2 minutes and 30 seconds to tell the world, or at least that bubble of the world, to tell them the real solution to the problem. Don't waste that 2 minutes and 30 seconds on questions and trying to answer the question to say, this is why we're backing that candidate. This is why our church and other churches are backing this candidate. As a church, we are not supposed to back candidates. We're supposed to back God. As a church, vote for whoever you want to vote for. But as a church, in that 2 minutes and 30 seconds, why can't we in that moment just simply say, when they ask the question about why are you supporting this person, they say, well, I'm supporting this person individually because I think I align with their views. But let me just tell you something real quick. The real solution to the problems that are happening in our economy and at the border and over this and over that, the real solution is Jesus Christ. And if we get the world to know Jesus Christ and his love and his forgiveness, then the rest of this stuff will work its way out. Why do we waste that time? The reason why I say it's fine, vote for whoever, but as a church, we have to stand on the principles of Scripture, is because how many of you all have tried to pull one grain of salt and put it on a steak? Nobody? Has anybody, let's be more realistic. How about a grain of salt on a string bean, on a green bean? Nobody? Nobody's tried that? I imagine that if you put that one grain of salt on that green bean, it's not going to make a difference. But collectively, multiple pieces of crystallized salt on that green bean is going to bring the flavor out of that green bean. Well, what's really going to bring it out is ham hocks and bacon and so on. But we don't need to go into all of that right now. But I imagine it takes a few more grains of salt, right, to bring that flavor out of that green bean. We collectively as a church, when we do what the church is supposed to do, we have a tremendous effect on the world. As an individual grain of salt, vote for whoever you want to vote for. But as a collective body in this jar of salt, this bottle of Morton salt, we need to do it differently. It's when we decide to answer all of these questions with a biblical response, going back to that other scripture passage, that when we answer carefully, that we understand that who we are requires us to answer differently. It requires us to say it differently. It requires us to look at it differently. It requires us to not go into the status quo and get caught up in all the conspiracy theories and get caught up in all of the hoopla. It requires us to say it the way Jesus said it in Scripture, or the way the Holy Spirit inspired others to say it. It requires us to say that. Look, salvation comes by the power of the gospel. That's what the Bible says. not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation. If you want deliverance, if you want freedom, if you want your healing, if you want to be set free, you want peace, you want joy, it's in the Word of God. And when we give that to them, they will experience what they're looking for. And at that point in time, we will have won them to Christ. But when we are silent, or when we decide that we want to espouse all these other trains of thoughts and philosophies or whatever, we lose our saltiness. And we can't have the effect that God wants us to have on the world. If you're taking notes, write this down. John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. John chapter 8, verse 12. Also, John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. And lastly, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 7. We are the light of the world. It's the second part of that scripture passage in Matthew chapter 5. We are the light, as you will read in those scripture passages, because Jesus was the light. And when we accepted the gift of Jesus and were saved from the consequences of our sin, and when we surrendered our hearts and minds to Him so that we can now serve Him, when we did that, we became light. And as we go around, we have to let our light shine bright. Now, it doesn't make a difference if you are in the new way of doing lighting now. It doesn't make a difference if your light is daylight light or if you're a soft white light. Just shine. Just quit turning the dimmer down when you get around certain things. Quit turning the dimmer down. At Super Bowl time, quit turning the dimmer down. When you get around certain people that don't want to talk about God, quit turning your dimmer down. Let your light stay up. Let it be bright so that all the world can see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We are the light of the world. And if we don't shine, then we will continue in this chaos and darkness. I'll read this last statement and then we will end it from there. When we are saved from sin, we are given His light, and then we are to be His light in the world. The only way the world, which is steeped in darkness, can be exposed to the light is that we have to set it for all to see. The light of the glorious cross of Jesus Christ should not be dimmed so that those who need it can't have it. But when we are silent concerning our faith, when we are unwilling to exhibit the attributes described in the Beatitudes and in other places of Scripture, then we dim the light of the cross and render the cross of no effect. We must be bold in our faith, vocal in our praise, in the praise of our God, and willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that this little light of mine shines. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So we must hold up the light for all the world to see and know that to the utmost, Jesus saves. And when we let our light shine, our good deeds are seen and God is glorified. Because we are children of God, we are called automatically and instantaneously to be both salt and light. And if you really want to make a difference in the world, be salt and be light. Just do it. It might be uncomfortable to you, might be uncomfortable around others, but do it. If you want to really see the world change, do, and you believe in the cross of Jesus Christ, do what the scriptures say. Just do it. We provide here at NC3, we provide all kinds of opportunities for you to be salt and be light. In the action program, projects that are coming up, in the fair that is coming up, you'll get a chance to go around and see all the different things that you can do and be a part of so that you can be salty and be full of light in those instances. There are places you can operate and work in the church here and around the community and around St. Louis and even in Columbia. But what we don't need to be is a salt shaker sitting on the shelf in the cabinet with the door closed. That's what a lot of churches are. If you got to go, I know you got to go. But this just came to me. I'm going to get in trouble with a couple people. That's fine. The problem with the church at large is that we are a bunch of salt behind the cabinet door. And we are never poured out. We'll never go beyond the cabinet door to be poured out on the society, on the world, so that we can make a difference. And there are people that would, I'd much rather just be the salt in the cabinet. If you need more salt, here I am. But what God needs is he needs you to go out and he needs you to be spread among all men and women and children. And when you do that, you make a tremendous effect. Ask anybody that works with me over there in Russell, whether in the daytime or on Wednesday evenings, ask anybody over there the effectiveness that is taking place because salt is over there in the school. You want to change the school system? Put salt in the school. They took prayer out. But guess what I asked, and they gave me the approval to. I asked them, I said, look, I know that prayer in school is really not a thing right now, you know, blah, blah, blah. But do you mind if I bring a couple of my friends with me and we walk around the school? I promise you we won't go in anybody's classroom and disturb classrooms. And we're not going to make a whole lot of noise. But do you mind if we walk around the inside of the school during the school day and pray for this school? She said, please come do that. And so we didn't put that on the calendar, on the thing, but I'm asking for volunteers. If anybody wants to change this world, if anybody wants to change the school district, if anybody wants to change the plight of our young people, I ask you, I implore you, join me. Be the salt that walks up and down that hallway, praying for our kids. Instead of complaining about them, pray for them. Instead of complaining about the teachers, pray for them. It's time for us to be salt. It's time for us to go out and do the work that God has called us to do. And when we do that, we will change this world upside right. I believe that is why there are more people that are coming in the doors and becoming a part of NC3, because I think they sense that there's real work, real salty work being done here. And they want to be a part of that. And I want you to be a part of that. I want you to come in, and I want you to be a part, and I want you to go out, and let's change this world. Every time somebody comes in the door, and I ask them, I say, why did you come in? And somebody will say, I was driving by, or I was walking by, and I just sensed something about the building. Somebody said, and Bob has this testimony too, countless people have come by and said, I saw the sign, and I came in. Even we changed the sign, but the sign still works. There are people that are coming in and said they saw something on the sign and it spoke to them and they came to church. Great. But there are other people that drove by and said, there was something about that building, but something that was drawing me there. Well, we've been praying that anybody that walks by this building, that drives by this building, that they would sense the power of God, that they would sense joy and peace and forgiveness and salvation, that they would sense that God is in this place and in these people. And people have been coming in the door lately because they want God. They're tired of the politics. They're tired of all the other stuff. I know I'm going to get an email, but that's okay. They're tired of all the other stuff that happens in all these other overly religious churches, and they just want God. The funny thing is, that's all I want. That's all I want is God. The rest of that stuff, they can keep all the titles and positions and the robes and all. They can have all of that stuff. I just want Jesus. And I want the opportunity to be salt and light in this world. And God has given me that opportunity. He has called me to that thing. He's the same thing with you. He has called all of us to it. And now that we've learned through the Beatitudes what salt looks like, in Galatians chapter 5, we see what salt looks like. In these scripture passages I gave you, you see what salt looks like. Now it's time for us to go out and be that in the world. And let's turn this world upside right for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Before I pray, this is not another closing. This has to do with prayer. If you are here, if you are in this room, or if you're watching eventually online, and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, as Lord, today is a good day to do that. To understand that God loved us so much that he sent his son down to die in our stead, to substitute his son for us, so that we would not have to pay for the consequences of our sin and our wrongdoing. And if you believe that and you're willing to accept that, salvation can be yours right now in this moment. And in the same way that Jesus told that thief on the cross, today you can be with him in paradise. If you are here, we're going to close our eyes and we're going to bow our heads. Matter of fact, let's do that now. We're going to close our eyes and bow our heads. If you are in this room and you have not accepted the gift of Jesus Christ and you want to, then I would just ask that you raise your hand so that I and I alone can see you. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day, grateful for this time and our worship, grateful for this sermon that comes, God, to remind us or to challenge us in what has already been given to us, and that is to be salt and light in the world. God, we just pray that you give us the boldness we need to go and do and be. Our overall goal, God, is that you be glorified. And we want that to come out of everything we do, our life, our actions, our words, our deeds. We want it to be seen by all men, so that they glorify you. So help us, God, to be the salt. Help us to be the light that sits on a candle, that sits on a lampstand, and not hidden under a bowl, not dimmed for our own comfort, but up high and shining bright for all the world to see, so that the rest of the world can see the glorious light of the cross and your extension of love and grace and mercy for us. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. We love you, and we pray, God, that as we leave this place, even today, that we will let our salt be known and let our light shine. Now, God, take us from this place, but never ever from your presence, and allow us, God, to return at the appointed time with no danger to befall us. And God, we will give you praise, honor, and glory forevermore. Every grain of salt and every light bulb said amen. Amen. God bless you.